Curtis Transom, and he will talk about corn nitrogen fertilization rate tools compared over 8 Midwest states.
Thank you, Fabian. I think there's a few seats up front if people want to move up, but just to begin with, I'd like to thank all the co-authors who really contributed to this presentation, this project, in terms of their expertise. And again, I'll be talking about some of the corn nitrogen fertilization rate tools that we use in this project over the 8 Midwest states that were included. Just as a brief introduction, managing nitrogen is often very difficult due to unpredictable weather as well as spatial variation in soil. But the goal is by using the correct tool at the right time, we can maybe minimize the economic and environmental losses. And so some of the tools that are available currently for producers include soil tests, crop growth models, empirical based models, and proximal canopy sensors. And again, one of the main goals of this project is to determine where these tools work best and when do they work best. But for this presentation, since it's only the first year, I'll just be talking about which tools work better in 2014. And before jumping in, some of these tools, I'd like to point out, are created specifically for applying nitrogen either at planting or applying nitrogen specifically at side dress. So the evaluation of these tools is necessary to understand how well they're performing in terms of their original goal of application. Which leads us to our objectives. So the first objective of this presentation is to assess which corn nitrogen recommendation tools most accurately predicted corn nitrogen need as measured by each site's economic optimal nitrogen rate, or EONR. And the second objective is to determine if soil and weather information can help improve the performance of these tools. Seeing as we have a wide variation of soil as well as weather, we can tease that out a little bit. So again, some of the methods for those who just entered the room, this is over 8 states. We had 2 sites in every state. Each state followed a common protocol, receiving or applying the same amount of nitrogen on plots. And for this presentation, I'll be looking at the yields that were measured from each plot and related to those nitrogen rates to calculate an economic optimal nitrogen rate. And that will be the standard I'll be using to determine if any of these nitrogen recommendation tools performed well. So some of the tools that are included in this evaluation, the farmer's historical practice, or what the farmer or producer would have applied onto that site for that year. A generic yield goal, so traditionally 1.2 multiplied by a yield goal was used to determine a nitrogen amount that was needed to be applied, so this was used across all sites. Then historically states have moved away from that 1.2, and each state has kind of gone about it differently, either by adjusting that coefficient to a different value or including plant population down in Missouri, for instance, or CEC. So using that information of what each state recommends was included in this evaluation. And recently, many of the Midwest states have moved away from using yield goal into a maximum return to nitrogen or using plots on a sub-regional basis to determine the economic optimization rate and using that as a base for the nitrogen to be applied. And then there's many soil tests that are available. For instance, a pre-plant soil nitrogen test and a side dress soil nitrogen test. Those are included in this evaluation. And MAIZEN, or a crop growth model, which is available through the University of Lincoln, Nebraska. And then canopy reflectance. And for this presentation, I only used the Missouri algorithm. And I know there's several algorithms out there, and results can change depending on which algorithm is used. Now, how were each tool evaluated? Again, we had a site-specific UNR that we were able to measure, and that's on your y-axis there. And then we had what the tool would have recommended in terms of a nitrogen rate. And when we plot, here's an example of a plot. The hope was if a tool perfectly performed or perfectly recommended that economic optimal nitrogen rate, it would fall on that solid line or the one-to-one line. And if points are above that line, it would indicate that tool is underestimating the amount of nitrogen needed for that site, whereas if it was below that line, indicating that it was overestimating the amount of nitrogen needed. So how each tool was measured is we can take the difference between that perfect prediction, that one-to-one line, to what was actually recommended from each tool. And in this case, it would be a residual. And we can use those residuals to calculate a test statistic. In this case, I'll be using the root mean square error. And this is to for objective one, again, to measure which tool performed the best in 2014. And again, for the second objective of determining if we can include weather and soil information to improve these tools, we can use those residuals and then model them as a function of any weather or soil information that we've gathered. And so some of the weather and soil information that we have, again, it's over a vast geographic area, so we have quite a bit of information on variable types of soils as well as weather information. And so in this evaluation, some of the soil parameters are listed here on the PowerPoint, and just like to point out we had three different depths that were included. And then some of the weather parameters, so we have total precipitation that was used, and then the Shannon Diversity Index, which is a measure of how even that precipitation was. And this was used in Tremblay et al., his paper. And then the abundantly and well-distributed rainfall, which is just taking that Shannon Diversity Index and multiplying it by the total precipitation. Now, tools that were evaluated at planting, that weather information was only collected from March 1st to the date of planting, or in this analysis, we have weather from January or basically any month that we could use, but just for this presentation, March 1st, the date of planting was used. And then for applications that, for side dress or split applications that were made, it was from the date of planting to that date of side dress. So switching back to results, to that first objective of determining which tool performed the best. Here's an example of two of the tools and kind of how it panned out for them. Just to give two contrasting results here, on the first graph there we have a generic yield goal, and you can see that the distribution is quite wide, whereas on the other one we have MRTN, which has a little shorter distribution. So when we calculate the root mean square error again from all these tools and compare them, we have a table here. On the first column we have the nitrogen recommendation tool. The second column is the number of sites that were able to be evaluated for that tool. And in that third column, we have the root mean square error. And I have highlighted the two cells that had the two lowest root mean squares. So in the case of tools evaluated at planting, MRTN and that pre-plant nitrogen test had the lowest root mean square error, or we could say performed the best. And tools at side dress, again, MRTN performed fairly well, and comparably, canopy sensors indicated that they had the lowest root mean square error. Now switching over to our second objective of can we include weather and soil information into these nitrogen recommendation tools to improve them. If we look at all the tools evaluated at planting, we can take the residuals, which is on your y-axis there, and we can model it using any soil information. So for this case, we have the generic yield goal, and we have the average total nitrogen, and we have a significant linear relationship between those, and that can then be applied to the nitrogen recommendation tool to adjust that. Now, at planting, this was the only soil information that helped improve the model, and it didn't improve it very much. When we look at weather information for planting, no weather information helps improve the model. When we look at side dress nitrogen tools, MRTN was the only tool that was able to be improved when including any soil information. In this case, the bulk density for the first 30 centimeters. But what's of significant note is there was 4 out of the 7 side dress tools that were able to be improved when we included weather information. And in parentheses, you can see the weather information that helped improve those tools. Now, the question is how well can we improve, how well does it improve those tools? If we look at a bar graph here, this is the tool, unadjusted, not including any weather information, and it shows a root mean square error. But when we include that weather information in there, each tool is reduced, that root mean square error is reduced by a certain amount, and some are reduced more than others. But in general, we do see an improvement of that tool. So in summary, again, this is just the 2014 year results, and the first objective, which tool best predicted site-specific UNR. For tools that were used at planting, the MRTN and that pre-plant nitrogen test were the two best tools. Whereas when we look at side dress, MRTN and canopy sensors perform the best. And when we look at the second objective, does soil and weather information improve the performance of these tools? In general, no real improvements were seen for tools at planting when we include we couldn't include any weather or soil information for tools at planting. But what a main take home is there were several or many tools that were improved when we included that weather information for that side dress application tools. And in conclusion, I'd just like to thank those who have contributed to this project. Mac Bean, my fellow graduate student there in Missouri, DuPont Pioneer for funding the project, Dr. Laura Thompson for helping with helping me out with the Maize N model, and then all the USDA ARS technicians who have traveled all over the 8 states to collect all this information, as well as the other technicians from the other universities and graduate students involved. I'll take any questions.
Several investigators have documented fairly wide variation, spatial variation in EONR values in whole fields.
Sure.
How were you able to determine that you had one and only one EONR value in your test area?
In the test. So we did have that replicated, so we were able to calculate an UNR for one replication. And for this test, we were able to just take the average of those 4 replications we had. And the plots were in an acre base, so we went with that.
Thanks.
Other questions?
In your EONR, it's quite a bit uncertainty in what that exact number is. It's just scattered data. You don't carry that uncertainty forward in all the other analyses. Would it improve your analysis if you carry forward that uncertainty? And I'm sure it's going to be greater at some sites than others, some years than others. That would affect all your statistical analysis, all your adjustment analysis.
I completely agree. And I think one of the things to move forward is try and figure out how to include that variation. But for this, again, for this presentation, it was just a raw look at things.
In this study, all of the varieties were consistent across the site?
The varieties were not consistent. They were chosen by Pioneer to account for the growing conditions. For instance, North Dakota had a shorter growing variety than we did down in Missouri. So,
with that in mind, then, do you think there's variation between the response of those varieties to apply nitrogen?
I think there could be a response, but at this point,
huge
response. At this point, I think the weather and soil information could provide most of that, and it could explain most of that variation.
Right. Thank you.